Episode 186.
It's the fear of the unknown, right? There's things that shop owners don't want to do. They don't want to look like they're scared, right? And they want to, when they're the leader of the ship, they want to be the captain. And they don't want to lead their troops into uncharted water that they don't know anything about, right? So I think that fear drives a lot of, just like the website. Why do I have a website? I don't know what a website does for me. I don't know what it's supposed to do for me. I don't know anything about all the reports I get on marketing about my website, right?
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hey, aftermarketers, welcome to Remarkable Results Radio podcast. I'm Carm Capriato. Now, this is the place where ideas, insights, expertise, trends, and personal achievement is served up twice a week. Today, I'm with Chris Clodier in episode 186. There is an important infographic that will bring value to this interview. Now, I want you to find it on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E186. This episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, thanks for installing my very own podcast app on your smartphone. It is available free on the App Store, but you already knew that. Search for Remarkable Results Radio. If you don't have it, download it, install it, and get every episode right where and when you need it. Hey, thanks to Robbie Schrimsher for the new Facebook friend, and to new LinkedIn connections, Kyle Weidman, Keith Oatman, and David Perry. Now, meet Chris Clodier. Chris has been on the show before in episode 178 when he guested with Jeremy O'Neill and a discussion on the digital sales process. Go back and listen to that. Chris's background is developing software solutions for large companies. He is a shop owner and owns Autotext.me. Chris and I got together to talk about having him on again, and the timing was perfect. See, he created a new website called ShopTechnologyTimeline.com. Now, he tells the story of how it came to be. Now, if you're not driving, I highly recommend you open a new web session and go to this website. It will be a perfect companion to our interview, ShopTechnologyTimeline.com. I've also included the infographic as well as the link to this website on the show notes page. Find it at remarkableresults.biz/E186. Now, the infographic will allow you to follow the discussion. Chris talks about important stages of technology that shops must implement to stay current and relevant. You don't want to be left behind with technology, and Chris shows an implementation timeline. Now, I encourage you to get out a yellow pad to take notes. I encourage you to look at the infographic and look further into his website to see solutions offered for each of the stages. A few top discussion points: 80 to 90% of shop owners are in stage one on his timeline. That data is king. And that shop management systems must move to be cloud-based. And if you're working on a $60,000 rolling computer, you should interact with your customer at that level. Now, I promise a lot packed into this very enlightening interview. Now, meet Chris Clodier. Hey, I'd like to welcome to the podcast Chris Clodier. Now, Chris has been on the podcast before at episode 178, and he and Jeremy O'Neill talked about the digital sales process. You got to go listen to it. It was great. Chris is the co-owner of Golden Rule Auto Care in Dallas, Texas, and he's done that for about 5 years, along with his brother. He came from the software industry, and that's key to what we're going to talk about today. And he helped develop solutions for companies like Southwest Airlines and Wyndham International. He's worked for companies that understand the marriage of service and software and have applied it in an effective way. After opening his shop, he created Autotext.me. Now you can connect Chris with Autotext.me. It's a workflow and communication solution specifically to give his shop a competitive advantage. And as he talked to more and more shop owners, he realized there was a need for technology. And he since tried to be involved in helping the industry move forward with his technology. Now, hey, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Carm. Thank you for having me again.
Thanks, man. And we're not here to talk about autotext.me. I just can't believe that every time I have you on, we're not doing a commercial for your business, and you know I don't do those. but here's what happened. You sent me this incredible website, and I want to encourage anyone who's listening right now to go to their computer, if you're not driving, and type in shoptechnologytimeline.com. And if you can get to that, you can help follow a lot of the things that Chris is going to talk about. And if not, I plan on putting this graphic, this incredible graphic, up on the show notes page. And I can't give you the URL to the show notes page yet. But if you're an old fan of the show, you just know to go to remarkableresults.biz and just go to the episodes page and you'll find Chris. So it was a trip back from a meeting or a show that this hit you, and you got yourself a URL, and you created this stunning, stunning graphic that shows, it's a timeline, but it's a timeline within stages, Chris. Why don't you introduce us to it?
So the shop technology timeline, you're absolutely right, Carm. So I was flying back from a conference in Chicago, and I had seen a couple presentations on technology and on technology and shops specifically, right? Being an auto repair shop owner, I go to a lot of different conferences. I get to sit on both sides of the table. Sometimes I'm selling the software. Sometimes I'm buying the software. So I got to watch a couple other vendors talk about technology and shops. And I felt that, you know, there was a lot of mystery around what a shop needs to be, what a shop needs to look like. And there's a lot of questions surrounding what is a technology-based shop look like, right? What are the things that a technology shop do? I think that a lot of people, there was a misunderstanding when I talked to shop owners that when they get a digital vehicle inspection sheet, that now they're a you know, technological shop. And I think there's a lot more to that puzzle than just that one piece. And so what I wanted to do was, as I got delayed on the tarmac, it was a 2-hour delay. And instead of getting mad and Facebooking and trashing this airline, which I did that too. Don't worry, I had the time to take pictures and then trash the airlines, which I'm not going to mention. I love the airlines, but I don't like being stuck on a tarmac for 2 hours. Nobody does.
No.
I said, I'm going to put this to good use, and I'm going to write what I think is the concept of a shop and once again, in a timeline format, right? I know enough shops now because I've been in AutotextMe and I've been in lots of different 20 group meetings. I've had the pleasure of visiting tons and tons of shops. So I've got a good grip with my background in software and then with seeing how shops have progressed, where they're at and where they could go. So yes, it is a timeline. Shops don't necessarily follow the timeline. Some of them are kind of sprinkled in the different stages, but I think it gives you a idea of where you're at. I gave it one presentation at a 20 group. And at the end of the presentation, when I give it, I had everybody asking me, you know, am I stage two? Am I still in stage one? Hold on, I'm doing this. Am I in stage three?
Yeah.
And so there's not a definitive. And that's why I have some, if you look at the timeline, there's actually some bubbles that kind of cross over into both.
Yeah, I see that. Now, if I was a shop and I'm looking at that right now while I'm listening to the episode, is there any way that you... And I know the answer's got to be no, because you just came out with this. But here I'm thinking, if I could check the box and check the box and check the box, would I know what stage I'm in? Or is there an assessment that says this is good, I should do this before that?
I love it, Carm. That's the next level of evolution that you just came up with. I think it's a great idea. Right now, and the other thing I put it out was just that, right? Is if I were to start at the beginning, this is the way I would progress. So if I was a new shop, yeah, I would start at the, you know, stage one and get these things done and then tackle stage two. For instance, online scheduling. If you don't have a website and you don't have a nice web presence, there's no reason to have online scheduling. It needs to be a part of that whole piece of your online presence.
Which is why web presence is in stage one, but it is before online scheduling. So I think what you're showing here is you're not only showing stages, you're basically saying, and I love the way the bubbles overlap, you're saying you really almost need to do A before B. You can do B and partial C before you do D, but you have to do B. It is a mind map, really.
It is. And I think, once again, I go to a lot of meetings and talk to a lot of owners. And the question is And I get this. I'm a technology guy. I'm strong at technology. That's what I get.
Yeah.
But when I first bought my business and I had to learn accounting, it was intimidating. When I had to learn about HR, because all the other businesses I've run before, they were software businesses, and HR was a matter of me contracting out a couple of people to do work. But right. I never had a guy I had to pay every week, right? I had to learn all these other aspects of running a business. You know, P&L and balance sheet aren't the easiest things to read when you first, they're pretty intimidating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if technology, I haven't seen, once again, something that says, here's how your shop becomes a technology shop. And I get a lot of owners that say, well, what do I need to do? You know, I don't understand it. Technology scares me. I don't know what it means, and I don't know how to start adopting technology. When me and you and Jeremy talked about the digital sales process, right? That's a great concept, right? It's a great topic, but how do I get there, right? What are some of the steps I need to take in order to get myself in that vein of technology?
You know, I love what you just said, your analogy to, I own a business and now I'm an expert guy at the P&L, and a lot of people have smartphones, but they're not tech experts, and they don't quite, I just learned how to text. Great. Look at stage one, stage two, stage three. I mean, virtual training, online customer invoices, online customer receipts. Where's the thing about the wallet? I'm blown away by how detailed this is and how humbling it also is, because if I think I'm a tech guy and I'm in somewhere in stage two and I'm satisfied, don't be for so long, or don't be satisfied for too long, because you're showing stage three, and I bet you in another year and a half, there'll be a stage four.
Oh, I'm sure there will. One thing we know is technology changes at a rate that we can't fathom. Right. When smart cars and all the things, you know, these driverless cars come out and they start changing, they're going to change, you know, telematics, you know, which is in the stage three. Right. Telematics is a huge, huge. I have probably about 10 pages of notes and data I've collected on telematics. And that's from companies that deliver aftermarket devices to what all the different, you know, over the air OTA, over the air updates, the different, you know, synonym. I've tracked this stuff. And you know, I still can't find definitive answers on it because it's still so new. But before you know it, everybody's going to have, you know, an aftermarket device, or every car is going to be plugged in, and it's going to happen overnight because that's the way technology works now.
I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, Bud, what's the best thing about the Guru on the Go van?
Yeah, I think that the best thing about the van and the kind of the mission is it's twofold. One is ultimately to bring brand awareness of the Federal Mogul portfolio. But I think the way that we do that is we bring value to the technician, the shop owner. And how we do that is we bring technical content, we bring some updated material. And once they see that I care about their operation, their reputation, and their qualifications, one, they're built up, but two, they really at that point listen to what I have to say about the brands, and it's built, the relationship is built on a mutual benefit.
So you bring technical stuff and you bring product specific.
Yeah, me personally, I'm super technical background. So anytime I'm doing a lunch and learn or a van visit, a training session, it's typically 90% technical, 10% product.
Any new Moog products that are getting good reviews?
Yeah, one that's recently released is the Dodge Ram 25 and 3500 complete steering assembly. It's inner and outer tie rod ends and drag link pre-assembled. This is the first aftermarket part that's available in a complete assembly for this application. And the specific application to late model Dodge Rams are actually a kind of a high failure part on the chassis parts.
What about the compression-loaded ball joints with pre-installed integral dust boot?
Yeah, the integral dust boot has been a huge hit. Initially, the idea was well, where is the boot? And then once you kind of get around and show people, they're like, well, that is the best idea I've ever seen, because I've torn so many boots on installation, or I've had a boot that's not seated properly. And they're like, well, that's just not an issue now. And they love it.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Okay, so hopefully we've really enticed our listener to want to go to shoptechnologytimeline.com and take a look at the website, but specifically the, if you will, the infographic that you've created. Stage one, you say, is the majority. So tell us a little bit about stage one.
Stage one, I would consider the 90%+ that are out there, right? And it's the majority of shops. I think that if you look at the industry, that there's a core, we're a very reactive industry. Yep. And I keyed into this a while back. I figured, okay, why are we reactive? And if you think about the name, right, we're called the aftermarket auto repair, right? It's in our name.
Yeah.
We're an afterthought. We're reactive. We're not called the pro, you know, auto. We're not the before. We're the after. So we're always very reactive, right?
Yeah.
So I think stage one says, look, a lot of these things in stage one says, this is technology and you have to be forced to embrace it. That's my point. Like having a website or a web presence or customer feedback, which is the first one, it's even before a website. There's shops out there that say, don't want a website, don't need a website, don't care about a website. But thanks to Yelp and Google and Facebook and TripAdvisor and if you're a business, you're online and customers are leaving comments about you, right?
So why would there be a big push not to have a website?
I've come across shop owners, Carm, that say, I don't need a website. I have my customer base. They're loyal to me. They treat me well. And I have no desire to go out and get new clients.
And don't you believe there's a little untruth to that? Don't you think that there's this little voice inside that says, I lost another one. Oh, wait a minute. Since I don't have computers and I'm not online, I really don't know what I'm losing. I may be bleeding to death, but I don't know that I am.
I agree. And you have, you know, and some people, when they invest in their websites, I would say their websites are subpar. I've been, one of my other backgrounds is I've been building websites since the late 90s. So I've seen them go from one page, you know, a Gopher browser, you know, you're an old tech guy. Remember Gopher? It was just text-based. And then IE came out with, you can put pictures with text. And it blew everybody's brains. And I remember creating one-page websites with pictures. And then somebody came up with, hey, we can create menus. And then they, you know, I mean, the progression has been, and I still see sites out there that look very, very antiquated and old. So just, you know, if you're going to put yourself out there, make sure you're putting yourself out there and presenting nice.
So not having one versus having an old antiquated one.
Is almost just as bad.
It's just as bad. As a side note, how often should a website be updated?
I think social presence to me is is the key here. I know everybody says that the website, it's important for your Google searches and stuff like this, but Yelp and some of your other Facebook in the search engine optimization, they're going to come up a lot of times before your website ever will. So I would say if you're going to keep content fresh, right, make sure you're commenting on your Yelp comments, make sure you're posting things on Facebook that aren't your old change sales and stuff like that. You're getting engaging content, right? So as far as updating your website, you know, I know they say every week, every day to keep Google interested, but really, what are you going to put on your website that a consumer is going to care about on a daily basis? I'll be honest with you. They're not going to come read your blogs. It's basically a yellow page ad for your business.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
It needs to be a fantastic yellow page ad for your
right.
business. It needs to be optimized. It needs to be, you know, phone friendly. It needs to be, you know, it needs to look sharp. It needs to have your hours, your number. I mean, so if you notice on the technology timeline too, if you continue to scroll down, we break down the stages and you see like people who deliver like websites, right? Kakui, your auto shop solutions. And then we even have Wix. I don't know if people are familiar with Wix.
By the way, I was so impressed. Even though you have a piece of technology to sell in the industry, you were very forthcoming to bringing on a lot of options that the service professional has. Kudos to your very openness on this.
Just like the current government we have, I try and be transparent. That's the word, Carl. Transparency.
I got that.
I don't know that they're transparent at all, but
I'll buy that transparency thing. Okay, so stage one, customer feedback, online resources, web presence, online scheduling, online ordering, and then there's a shift into stage two.
And the stage two becomes the minority, right? That's when I think if you can grasp, and just going back to stage one, that online ordering, right? And online scheduling, which are, you know, right on the bubble, right? The overall idea of the shop technology and just a shop that has technology and is very technology savvy, the key goal is efficiency and productivity, right? That's the main goal out of any shop, is productivity and efficiency. You have a limited amount of hours, a limited amount of resources. How can I utilize these and maximize these, right? What does technology do? It helps you to maximize your resources, right? It helps you to ordering parts online versus calling three different vendors. When I first bought my shop, we would make three phone calls to three different vendors to get three different prices. Online ordering, now that we have Epicor and we've got all these different ties into it, your shop management system, you know, Smarty Cat with Aura Writer, Omni, you know, ties into Epicor.
I know.
There's a lot of
it's so
huge time saver.
And there's transparency and seamlessness right there.
And it's a huge time saver, right? So just in one, I'd say if you have your web presence, you got your, you know, and then of course your scheduling. Shop two, right, is now starts getting into the minority.
I have a question.
Yes.
You've got these in three stages, majority, minority, advanced. How many in the industry do you believe are in the majority, the percentage of owners?
I'd probably say I think I have 90%+ in my timeline, but probably somewhere between 80% to 90%.
Wow.
Are in the majority.
So you're saying there's so much movement that has to happen to stage two and three. I mean, you're saying the surface hasn't even been scratched.
I'm saying the surface hasn't even been scratched.
Wow.
And I think that going back to one of the other things we were talking about is fear, right? It's the fear of the unknown, right? There's things that shop owners don't want to do. They don't want to look like they're scared, right? And they want to, when they're the leader of the ship, they want to be the captain. And they don't want to lead their troops into uncharted water that they don't know anything about, right? So I think that fear drives a lot of, just like the website. Why do I have a website? I don't know what a website does for me. I don't know what it's supposed to do for me. I don't know anything about all the reports I get on marketing about my website, right?
It goes back to my thing is I have a smartphone, so I'm now a tech person.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I get it. And you're right. You know, you got to put the ego on the shelf. You know, there's business coaches out there that do a great job to help in HR and in finance, productivity and margins. And I know they're really moving into helping with tech. Of course, the service writer schools. Is there anyone out there that can walk in and embrace a technology program for a shop owner?
I think Jeremy O'Neill. That's why me and him are such good friends, is because that guy, in the couple years we've known each other, we've had lots of conversations on how technology has progressed, and he's been one of the ones who has embraced the change in landscape, right?
All right, so he gets it.
Jeremy gets it,
right?
When we first started talking, when I first started, once again, presenting and talking to trainers, even, technology, you know, a couple years ago, and still some of them still say, I don't need a DVI. You don't need a DVI. You don't need a digital inspection. You don't need this. You don't, or I don't trust the vendors that are putting out the products. They're not very good. That's what trainers are saying to this day, right? I mean, I sat in a couple classes at ATE up in Seattle, and that's what I heard. And I'm in shock. And I go up to them afterwards and I say, hold on. If you don't like what's out there now, you guys are training the shops. Y'all should go to the vendors and tell them the way they should do things, right? But y'all should embrace it. I see the same type thing of, look, I've been training the same way for 20, 30 years. I don't need to change a thing, right? And that's not the way business progresses, right? I don't have the shackles of running a business for 20, 30 years. I've been in 5, 6 years. I come from a technology background, so it's easy for me to adopt new things, right? I don't have the shackles of this is the way it's always been done.
Some people are going to argue, okay, Chris is built for this stuff. He knows it. He gets it. And, you know, he's always going to be leading. And I'm not Chris Cloutier, so I'm just going to have to sit back and just read the news.
And I didn't know how to read a P&L or a balance sheet, right? 5 years ago, looked like Greek to me.
I get what you're saying. Your message to the service professional entrepreneur is get with it.
Get with it. Dive in. And this should help, right? The technology timeline was created specifically for this, right? Here's things that you can focus on in your business,
yeah.
right? And start saying, hey, why would I need that? Do I need that? Do I have that? Maybe I've already got software that does this, or maybe I've got somebody who can help me with this, right? But at least it gives you an idea of some things that you can do. Stage two, once again, I think there's probably 10, 15, 20%. And it would be, I'd be pushing it if I said 20% were in that minority. I think that some of them might have elements, but they still might not have some of the other earlier, you know, pieces on the chart.
Well, I have to tell you that, you know, so many of the entrepreneurs that I interview and I hear them talk about their business, both on record and off record, I think so many of them are in stage two, which is what surprises me. But we have to stop and think of how big our industry is.
You got it.
And there's a, I guess I'm never going to interview everyone. But what's refreshing to know is that many of the entrepreneurs that I am interviewing are making those strong, important investments, those leaps, if you will. And I even see a bunch of them in stage three.
Right. And you're interviewing the creme de la creme, too. You're interviewing, I've been to a couple different conferences, and some of the ones that I've gone to, right, you get a lot of different diversity at some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at some conferences that, wow, it's top shops, top performers, and there's a difference in thought process. There's a difference in discussion. And so you're right. I think the people that you're probably getting, absolutely. And I've watched a couple of your interviews. Yeah, they are entrepreneurs. They understand that technology is changing and they have to adopt technology and they have to adapt to technology.
Well, thank you for watching a couple of my 180 some plus.
Told you, Scott Waddle, right? I watched.
What a great guy. Scott Waddle up there in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a great guy. So, okay, the minority is in stage two, and so there can't be but a needle in a haystack in stage three, which you happen to call advanced.
The advanced, absolutely, right? So telematics, although telematics exists, right, and there's aftermarket devices out there, there are very few shops that are actually putting devices in consumer cars and finding a way to make that work for them. And there's lots of devices out there, but I've even tested them. Some of them just don't work, right? So to the model of how connected car works in the aftermarket has not been created. Now, there's some shops that are way ahead, and they're trying to create the model or system that all the rest of us will follow, right? But that's still so early because, I mean, once again, we could talk about this for hours. The what that OBD2 device that you're plugging in, is it Bluetooth? Is it straight cell chip connection? What type of security does it have behind it? Is it something that you want to be putting in your customer's car? Can it be hacked? Can it shut down a car? I mean, you talk to guys like Donnie Seifer and stuff like that, and they'll make your mind blow up.
Yeah.
They'll make your mind melt with all the details. So there's got to be some. You know, that one has a lot of unanswered questions.
Oh, there sure are. When you talk to a tech guy, you go to just an hour conference, you walk away with Swiss cheese mind, and you also walk away deathly afraid to take that step. But yet, I really get that whole telematics car connectivity to the shop piece. I get that.
Right, right. Well, and even let's take, I have cloud-based SMS in the third stage, right? Why?
Well, I don't know why. It seems to me that is the most natural evolution of SMSs. And are you saying that there's barely anyone doing it?
There you go, right? So if you look at the majority of your shop management systems, there's only I think there's 130-something shop management systems out there. And I've been able to identify four or five that are truly cloud-based, 100% cloud-based. That means you access through a browser. Yeah, they might have an app you can access it through too. So your variety, right, and your big the big guys have been around, and I don't have to name them,
yeah,
are still on the desktops, right, are still running on the desktops. They've been running on the desktop for 30 years. I don't know what goes on in their back rooms, but I know that I had conversations with some of the guys, and they say, look, we got to be careful about how much we move forward with technology and if we push things up to the cloud, because that shop owner is not going to be comfortable with their data not being on site and their operating system not being on site and their database not being on site. I'll give you a perfect example, Carm. 2 days ago, I had all data before I moved to the shop management system I have right now, and that's Omnique, 100% cloud-based. Now, like I said, there's probably about four or five out there. You can go find them on the shoptechnologytimeline.com because we list them. 2 days ago, we had our backup computer, which was running all data, which is what we ran when we first bought the shop before I moved to Omnique. Guess what happened? Booted up the other day, black screen to death. I lost now 3 years of data, right? I got backups and stuff I can go recover, but I've lost, until I can recover the data off this hard drive, I just lost my data.
What is it going to take to convince a shop owner that his whole livelihood, his whole world is sitting up in the cloud? What, you know, with this, the whole thing of hacking that has been so big and prevalent of late, how do you convince that person? Or does it need to be a really big and a really strong company that says, you know, we've got all these protocols, whatever the words would be, that we're protecting yourself. And, oh, by the way, you could put a 4 terabyte drive on your desktop and press a button. And you know what? We'll download it every night if you want.
There you go. We'll back it up. I think it's, unfortunately, in this industry, I think it's going to take the companies moving and then everybody's going to adopt. If I have it my way, I'll say any shop owner that's out there, and I've been challenged, why should I move to cloud, right? What happens if I lose my internet connection? Well, there's wireless cards that you can have at backups.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
you can use your phone as a backup. You're not losing internet connection anymore.
You know,
right?
You're right. Back when I worked in corporate America in stores, everyone had a wireless 4G backup, and of course there was a few minutes if you lost your frame connection. However that technology works, you know, on the wire, on the fiber, and we were able to come up again. So those backup plans are not that difficult to have. Some of these wireless routers run on battery.
Yep. Verizon has a little it's a little MiFi hotspot. Yeah. They'll give them to you for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they want you to use the data, right?
They want you to. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's go back to the cloud. I use some cloud services to run my company. And the thing I like about it is that about every 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, there's a new feature or something. You know, we're doing this new and different. And, yeah, sometimes it is difficult to assimilate into, you know, some changes on the screen. But how many shop owners with a in-house SMS are using a piece of software that's like 4 years old?
Absolutely. And then they send you the CD update, or you have to update, you know, via a piece of software that keeps popping up and saying, hey, you need to update yourself, which they don't want to update, right? And you're absolutely right. And a shop, you know, a cloud-based system allows you to get that update in real time, right? And that's the way the world goes. Whenever they drop the change, you get the change,
yeah,
right? In more of a cloud-based type system. So you're absolutely right. Your accessibility is that much quicker.
You know, features today in software, because the capabilities are so huge.
And they move so quickly,
and
right?
Yeah. And maybe part of the problem is there are so many customers with the big guys that are out there that are at so many stages that it would take the hardest brainiacs in a room to figure out how to logistically move someone from 2.0 to 2.5 to 2.8 to 3.9 to 4.5 and to the current version 8.0. And that, to me, is probably the biggest nightmare, is to get everyone up to a level that they could rev to the latest.
Well, and that's a good point, right? So let's look at the car manufacturers versus Tesla.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You bring up a perfect example, right? Car manufacturers, they have revisions upon revisions upon revisions. Tesla comes out and says, hey, we can start fresh. Here's how we're going to develop our car.
Yeah.
And they put chips in the car, the over-the-air updates, all the things that the others don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
They immediately go to, here's our starting point.
Okay, so I have a question for you. If I was a rock-solid home-based SMS legacy software, and I wanted to move to a fresh, you know, cloud-based, is it difficult to move?
In a lot of the shop management systems that are in the cloud, they have data converters, right, to where they can take your history and they can convert it over into their new SMS. They can consume it.
I see. So anyone who wants to be a serious cloud-based, they're writing code to convert.
Absolutely. They can convert from multiple different shop management systems. Also, as an alternative, is what we did. We said, you know what? We don't want you to convert our data. We'll keep our data on this old server, right? So where we can access it. And it worked for 2 years. We had it until the server crashed,
yeah.
Right? But the good thing is we're 2 years out now. So do we really need that data? Yeah, well, I'm going to get it back. But we just left it there. And whenever we needed to go reference it, we could go to that system and pull it up.
Got
right?
it.
So we started fresh because I thought, you know what? I would. Here's another thing about shop management systems. And I hear this. And guys say, oh, man, I got 30 years worth of data in there. I don't disagree that you got 30 years of data in there. But how much of it is really relevant? The last 6 months is a year is relevant. Maybe 2 years is relevant. Maybe 2 years, but probably last 6 months to a year is relevant.
I do a lot of interviews. Recently did one, data is king. You got to have the data. The data is the most important thing.
You got it.
Data drives everything. And I really, really get that part. But how old, I mean, you know, data gets old and things trend and things change, consumer habits, economy. I mean, there's a point in time when, okay, I'll take the last 5 years, but no, I don't need to. Okay, it's like an old shirt from college, the old fraternity jacket from college you just don't want to get rid of.
I agree. The way the data moves and the way that your numbers move and the way that your consumer has changed. I mean, think of how much the consumer's changed in the last couple of years, right, with cell phone technology. And I mean, they're not cell phones anymore. They're mini computers, right? And they're always connected. Everybody is always, not everybody, there's still the 2% or 3% that don't have their cell phones with them all the time. But that's our new, and going back to should we embrace the technology? Why did I create the shop technology timeline? Is your consumer is changing, right? And you need to grow with your consumer. If you're working on their $60,000, $80,000 computer or car, which is a computer now, and you're still handwriting notes and you're still asking them to swipe credit cards and you're giving them, then you're so not understanding and you're calling your customer and bothering during the workday. You're not getting technology, right? And just like if you're going to be a business owner, and in my opinion, right, business owners, unfortunately, we have to wear many hats, and you have to. If you're going to learn a little bit enough about accounting, you better learn it about marketing, you better learn it about HR, and you better start learning about technology.
You know, you just said something so profound. I think that's a resonator from the episode, and that was, if you're going to work on a $60,000 or $80,000 car and you're handwriting, what do you think the owner of that car is going to think about you and your company? Where does he want to go? And I know that the dealerships that is an option for the customer are moving way into technology and connectivity to their customer. Okay, stage three, you've got in here online customer invoices and online customer receipts. Hey, I'm getting that stuff from Lowe's and Home Depot today, and some smaller companies I wouldn't even believe. How would you like to get your receipt, they say?
Yep, I agree. I think that part of, once again, going back to our industry and the reactive nature of it, that's why I put it out there. If people are thinking about how they're dealing with their customer, I think people don't think, oh, you know, digital inspection, that's something I need to focus on, right? And everybody always talks about the digital inspection being the one piece that they need to be a technology shop, right? But like you said, when the rest of the industry is moving towards paperless, right? And what it truly means to be paperless is, Carm, I don't need to print you an invoice. I just say, hey, Carm, we'll send you a text message. You click your phone here and use your Apple Pay or your Google Pay right here. I'll send you a text letting you know that here's your receipt and here's a link to your online archive of all your invoices. And I'm going to upload it to Carfax, and I'm going to upload it to where you're going to have access the rest of your life to this data. And so
I love the concept, Chris, because recently my doctor went to an online medical records program. And so if I go get any blood work done, probably within 2 days, or maybe even sooner, I could go and look at my cholesterol level. Now,
awesome.
I look at that as a, if you will, a medical wallet.
Yeah.
And when I think of marketing a feature like that to the customer, you know, you come here for one reason, is that everything you wanted to know about your vehicle is there. And I can see that online portal not only holds his invoices, but it gives them the idea of, based on their mileage, when they need to come in next, the videos on maintenance, and how about safety facts, you know, maybe connectivity to insurance issues. And my car happens to be, you know, there's the picture of my car and everything we've done on it and when you expect it back next and the next dental appointment, quote unquote, if you will, for the next maintenance levels. And so is that stage three or is that stage four?
I might be stage four. Yeah. I mean, you're right. And part of the problem is the data, right? Data is king. I love that, right? Data is king. But if your customer's data is sitting on your desktop in your shop, there's no way that you're publishing that stuff online, right? So that goes back to a cloud-based SMS, right? And even then, I think that you have companies like Carfax and I'll plug them because I don't want to sign up for Golden Rule Auto Care's online invoices, right? I want more of an aggregated place where I can find all my history,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to have a login over here, login over here, login over here. I want to have one login, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, you know, Carfax is starting to, I think, work more for advantage for shops. I think as they continue to evolve, because I think that's their vision, is creating that, here's the history, here's where a consumer can go, here's where a shop can report, and the shop can go and look it up, right? And here's more of a centralized piece of data where everybody has access to it, right?
Sure would help you resell that car, wouldn't it?
Absolutely huge. You have the maintenance history on it, fantastic, right? You have the invoices on it, fantastic. I agree. A lot easier than going through your filing cabinet, which I be honest, I used to keep one, right? And now I don't even keep one anymore.
Wait a minute. Go through the glove compartment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or your side door, right? Yeah. Or the floor mat.
Or the jacket in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
In the back of the passenger seat, yeah.
Look, Carm, we did it too. It was funny because when we first started up, customer walked through the door and they'd say, hey, you know, I got some work done here a while back, you know, and we'd say, well, do you have your invoice? Do you have your receipt? And we would ask that question. And one day I said, why? If they've been our customer, let's go look up what they did. I mean, like we have that ability, but you just get used to, well, I don't know. So I would like to be able to, my customer walk through the door and say, hey, Chris, here's the list of things we've done on my car because I have history on everything.
Bingo.
And this thing doesn't seem to be working, right? To where we don't have to go through. It's communication.
I think any company who asks one of their customers to do something manually today.
Done.
Like, yeah. When did you buy that?
Yeah. Tell me. Yeah. Absolutely. Rewards and recognition program. We're actually about to launch a concept that's a little bit different, but it makes me mad when Lowe's and Home Depot, those same companies that can send me an email receipt, right? Ask me, do you have your user card with you or your Home Depot card? And I'm like, you know what? I scanned my credit card. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
You know how much money I spend here.
Yeah.
Give me the reward based off of me spending money. Don't give it based off of I got to give you a card and give you a number and give you
stuff. You bring up a great point. I have a Lowe's credit card and I have my Lowe's number. And when I scan the card, they still say, do you have a Lowe's number? Well, it happens to be a sticker on my credit card. So they have to scan that too. But I think your point is so perfect. Why can't they extrapolate my credit card number into my Lowe's number or it's called My Lowe's?
Right.
I could go online and look up anything I bought as long as they scanned that number.
Yep.
But I still have to give them that number along with my credit card. And you're saying, hey, it should be a seamless one-step transaction.
It should, right? Credit card companies do it. Obviously, they can do it because they own the credit card and the data. But that same company has the same way to track that credit card number back to you.
I know the problem. The problem is SAP has to talk to another system.
it's data is king, right? How do you get the data?
The flow of data is king.
The flow of data is king.
All right. Hey, Chris, thank you so much for being here. When you come up with stage four, we're going to come back and we're going to add stage four. ShopTechnologyTimeline.com, and that's going to help get you energized into what Chris and I just talked about. Take a look through his infographic at all the information that he's served up to you, and he's given you a lot of options to think about. Hey, wow. Is there anything that I missed or we missed?
Carm, I think we covered the majority of what it's about and what it means. So I appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks for doing this. This was, in my mind, very unselfish of you. I mean, you purged your ideas, your passion about how technology fits in the automotive aftermarket, and you come up with a website that you're sharing for the world to see to get them to visualize what their tech challenges are.
I told you this. I'm a musician. Right. And musicians know they're going to die broke. They just want a hit song. Right. They want to make the world happy with that song. if I can never write a hit song, maybe I can write a hit piece of software. Right.
Chris, I hope this is your hit song.
Thanks, Carm. I appreciate it.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks so much for joining us for an in-depth episode experience. Don't miss the show notes for this episode with Chris Clodier and find the infographic we discussed in the show on his show notes page. Go to remarkableresults.biz/E186. Now, you know, I love to hear from you. Any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, you are an important reason I bring this library of interviews, this powerhouse of content. I hope you are profiting from the wisdom and insights found in each episode. Hey, it's favor time. Tell a friend about the podcast, and thanks for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.